Hey everybody, it's Brian, the editor. Now I know what you guys are thinking. With this guy again? Where's Miles? Where's Jack? Where's my boosties? Well, if you just calm down for a second, I will tell you. Okay, so what had happened was that Miles, Jack, and Jabari did so good at basketball camp that they got invited to LeBron James's birthday/New Year's party. And I'm gonna be honest, they're still recovering. So in the meantime, I compiled a greatest hits, if you will, from the past year. And don't you dare call it a clip show, okay? These are treasured memories that we all share. Enjoy.
Watching his workouts, like you really do get a feeling that you're like getting to watch him build his game, like brick by brick. And watching his workouts, I mean, that's something that people like show up hours early for the game to watch. But like, that was something I could have used more workout footage, like just like watching him like do that thing where he like bounces off one foot and does like a step back that covers 5 feet and then like nails a three. Like that was so fun. I could watch that for hours. Like that, I could have used more just him casually making like 3/4 court shots. Just because that's a unique superpower that he has.
Did you notice at one point he was just casually shooting the half court left-handed 3-pointers, like just to do it and sinking them. Like right. During that workout, at one point in the footage, he's just like, okay, let me just shoot a couple of lefties. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think part of the trick of the movie is covering up the fact that this man has an actual superpower and has since he was a child. Like, yeah, being able to make threes with your left is no joke. Have you seen his golf swing? Like, it's just the most perfect. Like, it's better looking than any golf swing that you've seen on the PGA Tour. It's so beautiful.
Well, I mean, that's just until Chuck comes up. Sorry.
Yeah, what's really crazy too, and I was talking to my boy about this, and to be clear before I say this, I'm not a LeBron hater. I know there's a lot of LeBron haters out there. I am not a LeBron hater. But you could argue that Steph changed the game in a way that LeBron did not. LeBron is amazing, but it's not like he's the first tall point guard. You know, like we've seen Magic before. He's an elite athlete to the level that we've never seen. But when LeBron started playing, I wasn't like, oh, I've never seen this. Like, he reminded me of Scottie Pippen. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, big point forward, athlete, two-way player, elite defender. But I've seen that. Not on LeBron's level, but I've seen it. Steph, like, there's a reason the NBA is played the way it is now. And it was because the Warriors showed teams what spacing can do. And that's when now everybody has to shoot threes. Everybody has to clear out. To me, that's traced back to Steph. And like, oh, we have to guard this guy as soon as he crosses half court. And then the space that creates for everybody else. And yeah, it's insane that he started off as this, like, could he even make a team?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, I feel like he changed the game more than anyone since, like, Lou Alcindor, like whoever, like everything changed. And then, you know, Kareem comes in, everybody is like being center oriented. And then for all like decades, that's the plan. You got to do that. And like, he's completely reoriented everything. I will say, as a LeBron lover, when he went against Detroit early on, I forget what year it was in his career, I think it was like second or third year, and then like was just getting to the rim on the best defensive team in the league every single time. That to me felt like, oh, we are witnessing something that is different than I've seen anyone do at this level. Like I've seen people go to the rim and dunk. I've not seen it be like this consistently. Just he can get to the rim and dunk with both hands like every time. Was one of the craziest things. But it didn't reorient how people played the game and like game planned for the next season, right?
And that's all I mean. Like, yeah, again, totally. I'm tired of the LeBron hot takes. The guy has earned our respect. If you're a hoophead, yeah, you can critique him all you want. That's what it comes with the territory of being an all-time great. But yeah, enough. The guy's unbelievable. But again, and you already said it. I just think Steph changed the way the game is played. It's remarkable. It really is.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, we can look at LeBron and you know, as much as we want, we can't duplicate that. The belief that comes with, you know, like if you're a kid watching the game, you might, you know, think LeBron is incredible. You might think these, you know, the big guys are incredible, but all of a sudden you see this little guy, whether he's 6'2 or not, 6'2 and three quarters or whatever the case may be. You see this little guy out there just flinging it up and, you know, dipping in and somehow you'll finding his way, you know, like all over the court. And it's like, hey, I could probably do that, or I could possibly do that even if I can't. So yeah. I totally understand that.
And also the idea that you can add to your game, like, just because you come into the league because of your one skill, which is shooting. I mean, I remember early in his career, they were like, Steph's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. And you watch him now, breaking ankles, no look passes. I mean, he's not going to lead the league in assists, but he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
But he's a legitimate point guard. He's a legitimate three-level scorer. And he came into the league as a three-point specialist. That's it. You know, you can add to your game. Yeah. And it also makes you wonder, like, some of these guys that come in with more talent, it's like, is it a work ethic thing? Because you have access to the same shooting coaches. Like, to me, working on your jumper, like guys that come to the NBA and never get better at shooting, I'm like, what have you been doing? Or like your free throw percentage doesn't increase at all throughout your career. I'm like, how is that even possible?
Like,
at the end of practice, you just, you know, shoot 100 free throws or whatever. It's like, it's inconceivable, honestly.
But I think there is a piece of Steph that is missing from this that is like, you know, KD, there's a good scene where KD comes to the celebration party they throw after, like, he breaks the all-time, you know, it opens with him breaking the all-time three-point shooting record, you know, halfway through his career. And then there's a party afterwards. KD shows up and he's like, I thought you were this little white kid when I met you like 10 years ago. I walked into a gym and there's this little white kid, like, but he's making threes from half court at that point. So, like, I really think that there is a, like, it's like having touch from 60 feet is like a weird thing that we're just like, man, he must have practiced that a lot. But it does feel like that is something that we don't necessarily think about as like a inherent ability, but it is like something that he has and has had like from early on.
He's got to have the most elite depth perception and hand-eye coordination in the league. Yeah. And that's people don't talk about that. Hand-eye coordination is a big one. You can be an elite athlete and not have that.
Yeah.
Well, that one workout that they showed, right before the shooting, where he's doing like the two tennis balls, he's catching, he's crossing over, catching a tennis ball, throwing it with the other hand, all of that type of stuff. Where while I get it, like there are people that can do that. He's doing it with such ease. It makes sense that he can do these things. It really does.
And those are the skills that I think, you know, your average fan doesn't notice, right? It's the same thing with LeBron. It's like, you look at LeBron, you see this elite athlete, you know, the quickness, the jumping, the strength, but it's the mental processing. Like everyone who's ever played with LeBron, it's like the guy just sees the game differently. Yeah. I think Steph is, it's one thing to be able to stretch the floor like that. It's another to be able to say, okay, guys have to guard me at half court. So here's what that does to the defense. So I'm thinking two steps ahead. I'm going to whip it to Draymond and I'm going to cut and I'm going to come out the other side because they're so spaced out. I'm going to get a shot on this wing. Like he sees the game in that LeBron level. I'm a couple steps ahead of all of you. And I'm aware of what me being on the floor does.
Yeah.
I know how to use it. And that's like the next step, right?
Yeah. It's cool. Like basically no notes for this documentary though. I think people should go check it out. Especially 100%. If you're a Steph skeptic.
Or even another example, if you'll indulge me with another example, it's like when Shaq added passing. It's like once Shaq became aware, every time I touch the ball, three guys are going to come running at me. And Shaq started being able to hit those no look passes that, you know, Arvidas was like that. Like, it's just like a different, obviously Jokic now. But it's like being aware of your impact on the defense and then what to do about that, I think, is a different evolution. And yes, I agree. This documentary is unreal. So good.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of things that people should go watch. That's wild that the Suns versus Spurs is one of the big matchups we were looking forward to. But I was checking for it.
Of course. We want to see Wemby. We want to see KD. We want to see we just want to see what it looks like, what these sort of matchups begin to look like. And it did not disappoint. I mean, at least in terms, like, there were some great moments. It was a thrilling end to the game. I think the neutrals definitely won that one watching along.
Yeah. Like,
Jameson, I do want to just note, because one of the other things I pointed out, or I put out there, was Wembanyama for DPOY, as a possibility deep in the summer when he was like in the 20s. Like he was, you know, the 20th best odds for that. Yep. Or, he is now seventh for Defensive Player of the Year. Even though it does, like, his numbers haven't been gaudy, but it does feel like there is a gravitational force and teams are having to, play, you know, do drills with a person who has stilts on and broomsticks on their arms, in order to just like get their mind around what it's like to play basketball when he's on the court. So I am excited about that. I'm excited, first of all, just all around about Wembanyama, but second of all, about him potentially making me look smart and his name starting to get involved in the DPOY race.
I mean, it's not necessarily stats with him. It's always going to be impact. That's why, like, we have to watch the basketball games. That's why, yeah, I'm impressed that, you know, everyone watched the Suns Spurs last night, because Suns were up like 20 plus at the time, I think in the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And then the Spurs gradually came back and ended up stealing a game that there probably should have been a foul call, but there wasn't. But it is what it is. That, you know, who cares at this point?
Yeah.
That being said, though, you have to watch Wimby. And the reason why is because there's certain things he makes players do that normal people don't have the same effect. He will make guys either pass it early or try to make plays they normally don't make. So when that happens, it's usually an error of some sort. So that's where it's like, man, he may not get the block or the steal, but he's causing players to do things they're not comfortable in doing, or he's causing guys to rush and get out of their own pace. And there's a lot to that. And when they get better players and when they get a better defensive system, he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year because the stats will come. But he's amazing. Like, he's really amazing. He's nowhere close to scratching the surface either. That's the beautiful part. Yeah. Like, he's so far away. But defensively, I remember we talked about it in the summer, I think it was like 40-1 or 38, somewhere in that range, which is really high. I think now it's like, what, 10-1 or 14-1? So,
yeah.
It's in that range. So, yeah, you just having equity in your bet from 2 months ago is huge. And there's a legit possibility if he plays 65 games that he wins the award. There's an honest pathway that happening. Not saying it's going to happen, but there is a way of it happening.
Yeah, it's good value. And I'm glad that I did not take that bet. But I know people who did. So I'm happy if anybody makes money off of my lucky guess. Some of Wembanyama's stats, though, like that. So he has 29 points on 12 of 15 shooting. So we've talked a lot about his defense, and, you know, there are these flashes of brilliance on offense, but I didn't realize, like, he was really closing games strong. He's 29 points on 12 of 15 shooting in the fourth quarter through the first four games of his NBA career.
Yeah.
Which makes him the most efficient scorer of 84 players who have at least 10 field goal attempts in the final frame this season.
It's very impressive. And they're going to him. Like, the only thing I don't like is that at times it feels like his teammates are freezing him out, which is wild because he's the best player on the team already.
Yeah.
But they should be featuring him every time down the fourth quarter. Like, every time he should get in the ball wherever he wants it, because he is the best option. Whether it's a jumper, whether it's a dunk or a layup, whatever it is, he should at least touch the ball before anyone else gets a touch. But with that being said, he's delivered this first week. Been very impressive outside the Clipper game because they got blown out. But every other game, he's been very impressive. And like I said, he's not even close to being what he's going to be, which is very scary because right now he's a huge problem.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant said the same thing. Basically, he was like, it's like, this guy's just getting started and it's going straight up from here.
Yeah, the point you made about, like, looking like he's getting, like, frozen out or something, I don't think it's, like, getting frozen out, but, like, it just feels like people aren't ready to defer to him at all on that team, and where maybe they should be. And it's hard for me to determine, is it because I just want to see him have the ball every time?
Right.
Like I'm a parent watching their kid and be like, get him the ball.
Give it to Victor. Yeah.
Yeah. But it does, I don't know, it does feel like they could be looking for him a little bit more.
I mean, like, there's plenty of game. I'm sure maybe on some level psychologically, it's like you can slowly increase the burden. But yeah, I mean, every time you see him with the ball, you're like, I think it's going to, okay, the jump shot is wet. Okay.
It could also be could also be a conspicuous decision on the Spurs part to be like, if you're not putting him in any of but the best of positions to score in crunch time, right, like then he's going to shoot 12 of 15. And so they're, you know, trying to build his confidence and create ease for him where he can like kind of step in and feel the flow as opposed to, you know, so maybe that's a conscious decision by Pop and, sure, and their staff there.
It's like they're monitoring his minutes. I'm just glad they're not just playing him in the first and third quarter and letting him sit the bench in the fourth. I'm glad they're actually letting him play the last 6 to 8 minutes of the fourth quarter where the game actually matters. Because a lot of times you'll see guys on minutes restriction and they'll play in the third quarter and they'll sit out the whole fourth and they're like, what is good as that? But obviously it's Pop and Spurs. They know what they're doing.
This is, I don't know, the last three days, there's just been obscene amounts of scoring. We were talking about the amounts of high scoring game or, you know, individual performance of there have been. I just want to read a stat just to kind of set the backdrop to, you know, on top of everything we've seen, like with Luka or Donovan, LeBron, you know, Joker. In the 2000s, the entirety of the 2000s, there were only 9 60-point games from players.
Wow.
In the 2010s, there were 11 60-point-plus games from players. So far, we've already had 9 60-point games in the 2020s, and we're in 2022, or that's just crazy, entering 2023. And we've had 9 already.
What is that from? Is that just from the three-point shot becoming so much more relevant?
My take on this is so dumb. It's just like, yeah, they're really good at making shots. You hear like NBA, like Zach Lowe, people be like, the shot making's really off the charts. It's like, yeah, they're good at shooting. They're good at making the ball in the basket.
They're getting more points.
Exactly. Turns out when you add them up, the numbers are a lot higher than last time. I don't know if it's like, I think also too, we were talking with Jabari, our super producer, you know, as the game evolves and, you know, the refereeing tends to benefit higher scoring. I think we're just kind of seeing like the byproduct of those sort of small tweaks, you know?
Well, more threes and then more people being able to draw that extra free throw. I mean, not that like that just maybe has a cumulative effect, but I mean, that's been one of the harder things to like to officiate, to get cleaned up, is just that foul on the three, the way that they, like Steph Curry, for it, like the way that he's always able to draw that, those three free throws. I mean, that's adds up, you know?
Yeah.
You know how it is.
The three's been around since the 80s. I mean, they figured out, oh, that's a lot of points. We should do that. And the efficiency that people are doing it, like Donovan Mitchell's 71 came on, I don't know, 30, like low 30s field goal attempts. And it was like the least of anyone in the top 35.
And didn't he assist on like 94 of the points?
Yeah. 99 like, of the points. He was either directly responsible.
I mean, that is absolutely, who's had a better game than that? Like Will Chamberlain, maybe?
Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe. Chamberlain.
81. Kobe. Yeah, right. Kobe.
But this was the highest scoring game since Kobe.
Oh, yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when the Kobe game happened. I didn't watch it, but I was at the gym, Bally's, humble brag. Okay. The following day, things were good. Things were
literal
good.
Literal flex.
It was the 70s. Yeah. Things were fine.
I was going to say, how many Bally's are left?
There's not many. That's how long ago this was. But I mean, I remember I heard a guy say it, and I was like, no, you have something wrong. Like, there's a detail you have wrong in how many points he scored.
Right. Yeah. It seems like an error. And same yesterday. It's 99. Crazy.
Yeah. And then what? Like Luka, 60, 50. Another 50 on the last 10 days as of this recording. Like, sure. Yeah,
Lucas was historic because he had 20 something boards. We keep seeing that, like, in the Donovan Mitchell game, also, there was like an intentionally missed free throw that like saved the game for them. Like, it does feel like there's a glitch in the matrix. Like, so the whatever video game we're watching them play, it's just stuck on, like,
yeah.
on demo
elite mode.
Mode
or whatever.
Yeah. Someone's putting in the code that before at the loading screen before the game starts, and they figured out how to make it constantly on fire. But yeah, I mean, I think it also, you know, goes to your point, Jack, like Jabari's in the chat saying, like, it is a, you know, a confluence of things. Just the game's progressive.
people's skill sets are just getting more and more like next level, and people have are just so multifaceted now. And shooting is just like, we're seeing, like, I remember at the, you know, a few weeks ago, we're like, why is everyone shooting so well this year already?
Yeah. I still have the same question. It's it's wild. They, I think they've been practicing.
I don't like it.
I will not allow it.
Yeah. And then what? Didn't the Warriors went to double overtime?
And Clay put up 50.
50. And what was the final was like 150 to whatever.
Yeah.
It was 143 to 141.
I mean, that is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, the Wilt Chamberlain, because we were talking before we started, like, are we going to see another 100-point game? Like, it feels possible now. It just feels like the shooting is so next level. The shot making, trademark, is just so next level. And I don't know, like, Luka feels like a good candidate for it. But Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, his team put up 169 points. So that's, you know, that's not a lot of teams doing that these days. But
and here's a dumb question. I have no clue, but was that game in overtime at all?
No, I don't think so.
You can't go to another game if you go to that one. You're like, I'm done. I'm retired. Put my jacket up in the round. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this again. Why?
I tried to take my wife to another game. She said, the guy didn't score 100 points again.
130, 120. Let's get our money back. This is terrible.
Oh, yeah. Also, too, like, the other thing before we take a break, the Nets also have been on an absolute tear since December 4th, 12 straight.
Yeah.
And they're 16-1 going back to late November. And I just said, man, the highlights of last night were also... Oh, man. I don't know. I didn't have as much faith. I don't know. We'll have to go back to the predictions episode. Maybe I did predict this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should go back to the predictions episode.
Sure. Yeah.
We did a predictions episode, and then we revise it every week, Gareth. You have to do that. Something happens. Yeah.
That's how you stay accurate. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the only other option.
Yeah, yeah. And for all you listening, go back to the episodes. We actually change every single episode if you go back. Yeah, so
I mean, that is what Skip Bayless does. Skip Bayless has said everything once, and so he was always like, I've been telling you forever. Yeah. Like, now he's like a LeBron fan. I'm like, how have you pivoted? Right. How have you been able to pull this off?
Pull the tape up from 2002.
For nonstop. Like, right. Can't win.
But the league's definitely more fun when the Nets are good, and the Nets are absolutely on a tear. I was wondering, like, because this does feel like, are we seeing the same thing that we saw with the Celtics last year, where they were, like, kind of subpar for a little bit of the season and then put it together? But I was like, how many, what was the most the Celtics won last year? And 9 was the most they won in a row. So 12 is pretty, I mean, that's pretty crazy. I know the Suns did it at one point, 17, I think, last year. But the Nets are just fun. I don't know. KD's so fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even Kylian Mbappe was in the house watching, being like, ooh. Oh. He is très magnifique at le basketball. There's this one shot where, like, KD just, you know, hitting an easy jump shot or whatever. And, like, the way Kylian Mbappe, the soccer player, is on the sidelines, he was, like, rubbing his mitts. He's like, woohoo! So good.
Maybe he just, like, doesn't know that scoring's much more common, you know?
this is crazy!
Every time someone puts up,
no, qu'est-ce que c'est? He had 30 hat tricks.
You tell him the Wilt Chamberlain stat, his head just pops into confetti. Yeah. Mbappe! It went to Mbappe!
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back right after this to talk about some other outstanding performances right after this.
And we're back. Does everybody just want to take a turn saying it as Trump? Miles, I think you had the best one before we started recording.
Well, we love him, don't we, folks? Victor Wembanyama. that felt all right. I think I did a better one in the warm-up. I was better in the warm-up, but hey, it is what it is.
This Miami game, like every preseason game feels like an event, unlike anything I've ever... I'm typically kind of a don't get too excited by the preseason person, just because my team just
for the past few years has been the 76ers. And so it's just like, I can only take so much, you know, I can only invest so much of myself into that team. But this is like, I can't think of a time when I've ever been this excited about every preseason game. And so the Miami Heat, like, I don't know. I feel like I know all of these highlights now, like by heart. Like all the blocks, like some of, like where he contests with that one Euro hand. Step
from the yes. like basically the 3-point
without putting the ball on the floor as a 7-foot-5 guy, like on the break. Come on, man. What?
Yeah, that one was wild.
He's not shooting great from three. He is blocking. I really think he's, whether they give him Defensive Player of the Year or not, I think he is going to affect more shots than any. And this is crazy. Like, yeah. I've gone from being like, I've got this crazy idea that he could be Defensive Player of the Year to be like, it's a given. This guy's going to be Defensive Player happening. Of the Year.
And I was saying, like, even without maybe the stats, I have, like, it's like what everyone's been saying. Even when we first saw him in, at Summer League, where it's like, he's just going to change the subconscious of offensive players.
You could just see it every time the other team has the ball and he's in there. Like, they're just... like you can see that they're worried about where he is and like not taking shots they normally would take. And like, even in that first preseason game when he only had one block, it was like the one time that somebody was willing to shoot with him around was when they thought they had beat him by like five steps, and they beat him by five steps and he still blocked them.
Yes, so like, that Jalen Williams blocking is OKC. I never saw anything like Jalen literally put him in a spin cycle. Like there's a point when Wimby's back is turned to a driving Jalen Williams and he takes like two strides and punches the shot out of bounds.
And it seems like it seems like Miami in a couple ways were like, all right, guys, like don't let it get in your head. Like, he's not going to block everything. You're just like, and they were taking shots that they normally would have taken if there was a 7-footer on the court, and he was blocking them at like one of them was kind of like a floater that he blocked at the peak of the ball's like arc in the air. Like,
right.
I was like, is that goaltending? I don't know.
Like, I've never seen someone block it at that point.
Yeah. It's what's his wingspan?
8 feet.
His wingspan is 8 feet. His wingspan is eight feet. Like, I guess I had heard that, but like, to see it in motion is a whole other thing.
Yes. And hands straight up, it looks like he's like got a 9.7, 9.8 reach when you measure it that way.
Or it looks like when someone's working with like a shooting coach and they use like a broom to simulate like a defender, except he's like holding two brooms. Like, exactly. like that's what the length looks like. I'm like, is that serious?
Like, I feel like he's gonna, first of all, the Cornette contest is now a legitimate, like, you know, the thing we always talked about last year, that Luke Cornette from the Celtics would like stand in the lane and just jump while someone was taking a three.
Right.
And it would be distracting. And like, people, you know, it's the same, like Shane Battier used to cover people's eyes as they were shooting, and like it affected their shooting percentage more than like you might expect. Like, I feel like Wembanyama might like accidentally block some of those shots just from the lane. It like doesn't make sense, but like, that's the feeling you get.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I'm guessing you seem excited, Dragonfly. Like, are you, I know a lot of people, again, other people are doing this with Wemby.
It's preseason, man. That's this preseason man guy. Like, right there.
Come on, preseason man guy. He's
actually
real.
A lot of people don't know that, but his cousin is the defense guy.
Yeah, exactly.
By marriage.
Exactly. You can tell they spend a lot of time talking to each other.
They joined the hater kingdoms of what about defense, and it's only preseason man guy to create.
I am super excited about this dude because the one play that made me literally drop my phone in disbelief. Like, what? I was watching on my bed. Yes. And I dropped my phone in disbelief. Like, what did I just watch? When he dunked on Thomas Bryant from outside the restricted area. And I want to be clear to the listeners, he didn't jump from outside the restricted area. His entire body
is outside the restricted
area when he dunked.
When he dunked on who is also standing outside of the restricted area. Thomas Bryant's feet are like right at the edge of the restricted area, and he dunks on him. Like, so he's what?
And And Thomas Bryant, this 6'10 NBA player, is like, what just happened? What do y'all expect me to do with that? And bro, yeah, we're with you. What can you do with that?
Here's Massey with the sell, rocketing down the lane, handing to Jack Harrison in.
Oh, he's showing us everything.
With the left hand, the right-handed, right over the shoulder of Thomas Bryant. Now, thank you.
It's like a, it was like a old Looney Tunes cartoon.
It is
like
one
Wiley
of the
Coyote.
Best.
He's like, the heck?
It was the Space Jam dunk, man. The dunk that MJ won the game with those Space Jam with the super extendo.
Thomas Bryant's performance in this moment is one of my favorite performances. Like, just like it. If you could give an Academy Award to somebody, like, not that he's acting, but just like everything about his, what he's doing with his body and face is so perfect. And
he didn't even have like the opportunity to act like, you know, have his ego be like, okay, that's just shake it off. You know, like most players, when they get absolutely posterized, they're like, okay, keep it moving. Don't acknowledge the L you just took. Yeah. He is so sincerely confused. Like, it's almost like it's half like looking at his teammates like, hey, why'd y'all let him do that to me? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then also him fully just like he's like
a human should not be able to do this.
Yeah.
There's that element of it too. It's like the best breaking of the fourth wall since Andrew Bynum laughed with us when Blake dunked on Powell. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to John Krasinski's taking notes from the office. Yeah,
he spikes the camera like Jim in the office. Like, it's really amazing.
He's shell shocked. Like, it's like, it's remind me like Tom Hanks in the beginning of Private Ryan, where he's like, what?
Yeah.
He's not even hearing the crowd. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like high pitched whine. I think we need to think seriously about making Thomas Bryant our patron saint of the business decision. Because not that he like really had an option there. He didn't have a chance to make a business decision, but his reaction to being posterized was like he was martyred so that others could live.
So that others could learn, maybe this might not be the guy to try it with.
But what do you do? Like, so you have to block him out.
He stopped them outside the restricted area. Like, it was supposed to be jump hook time, not slam dunk time.
Not, he's like, oh, watch this, young man. Let me just put that in over your head. I was like,
let me get right by you. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Going the other way.
It's truly his confusion, I think, embodies everyone. That's why I'm like, when people are trying to throw cold water on, I'm like, y'all, he's leaving players on the court confused and disoriented by his size and what he's doing. Like, that to me is the greatest indicator of like everyone be like, okay, so this is a problem.
Yeah, this is not good.
What do we do now? Because I don't even know. Like, where is this going? But yeah, not everyone, you know, when they get those, it's time to decide, do I get out the way or maybe jump up with somebody and contest this dunk? I think there could be a plenty of poor business decisions this season.
The mid-range game is, Super Producer Jabari was calling out, the mid-range game is like really crazy right now. By the way, he can dunk from the mid-range. I'm including that. But
that's in the mid-range.
Truly,
bag.
Like his mid-range jumpers and like just
it's beautiful.
Footwork, it really is beautiful. And like
it's like we haven't seen a 7-foot guy, you know, move the way like that in the mid-range with the mid-range, you know, jumpers and all that. So it's like KD. Like, that's what he reminds me of when I see that.
Yeah, yeah. For real.
Except 7'5".
Right. It's like unbelievable, bro.
I just can't wait to just see every single game now, because I'm just feel like I'm seeing new kinds. We're seeing the sport evolve in like its minor ways, but we're definitely at the dawn of something very new, and that's all we want as fans, you know what I mean? Just keep it exciting and keep elevating, and here we are.
The Ant-Man came with 44-6-4 versus the Rockets, and this brings us to our best and worst business decision of the week.
Yeah, some real business decisions were made. We also have to go back in December to analyze another poor business decision or great business decision. But who would you like to start with? Mr. Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, Dr. let's talk about Mark Anthony Green Edwards. From ER? He dunked on Al Shingun in a way that seemed premeditated. I think it would qualify as a first degree.
I gotta say, Schenger's my man. You gotta jump a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
just a little bit more. You're trying to rise up with Anthony Edwards. You gotta give me a little more than like a very light, like volleyball block type elevation. But I get it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I like his attempt at verticality there.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was that.
And he got used. Anthony Edwards used him to, like, you know, he was like, it was like a pommel horse a little bit, you know, and just pushed up a little bit. Cause when you see like the start of his jump, he's jumping from like inside the circle, like under the free throw line, mm-hmm. and then just like kind of grabs him and like pushes a little bit. And then violence ensues.
Yeah.
It's just, when you slow it down like that, No.
Just that. Like right when it's about to go in, you're like, Schenger's my man.
Yeah.
Poor business decision there.
He's not caught twice, right? It was twice in the same game.
Yeah, yeah. And then the second one was with both hands. And it just seemed it was just like he was like, oh, I now recognize that this man is not functionally, this man is not here. So I can just do this. I can just go through him with the ball and dunk on him.
Right.
And sure enough.
Not as sharp as they need to be defensively.
Edwards! Oh my! Schenger's.
On his head!
Big Schengi, my man.
Yeah. Jeez.
Sir, you got to look out below. You know, this man is coming.
He floated on that.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
With the two hands. Look at that.
It's body and
Schenger's, you got to get up, my man.
And he's looking back like, don't look back. Just run the other way.
Wait, did he make that? Did it go in? Ah, man, that's going to be good highlight for him.
And look at Anthony Edwards' body position on the rim with his leg all up. He's like, he just had a party in your house right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, again, but you love to see it. Like, you know, he wasn't shying away.
I do love to see it, Miles. I also we're still looking for nominations for the person who could be known as business decision, the way that, like, you know, some people call AD street clothes. With this is somebody we want to call business decision because they're very smart about the way they get out of the way when someone's about to dunk on them. Who has the best moves when it comes to making a smart business decision? We have the opposite of that from last month.
Yeah.
With Landry Shamet.
Look, it was a tough go. He goes for a game winner. It's not to be. And then Aaron Gordon, he's coming for you, sir. And you got to decide, you got to make a business decision. Do you want to be on a poster? Do you go up, possibly injure yourself terribly? We'll just see how this one played out. Didn't make the shot. Here he does.
Aaron Gordon's coming in.
Oh, Shamet! Oh,
my goodness!
Shamet, you could have got real hurt there.
And are they calling that an offensive foul?
Offensive foul. There's no challenge.
But they didn't. It ended up counting.
Yeah, they it got challenged and reversed.
My man,
he got dunked on, then landed on twice. Right.
That was,
somehow.
That was like a wrestling move, like off the top rope.
That was
just like Hulk Hogan leg dropped him or something. That was wow.
I mean, look at the way he tries to absorb this. He's like, you know what? This is a screen. But the way his spine curves when it makes contact with Aaron Gordon, I thought he was high jumping right here. The way he's arching that back.
Aaron Gordon is mad angular. High jumping. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
He is horizontal to the court.
Then on the way down, his head is right underneath Aaron Gordon's feet, where like he could have errantly just landed, and I use that pun very intentionally, like straight on man's skull. But he like luckily was like, oh gosh. He's like, young man, you got to be careful, man. When I go up like that, I could have really hurt you. It's a poor business decision.
He had to do it, right? So the context of the game is there's less than a minute left.
In overtime.
You know, there's mere seconds. Shamet had just missed a shot. Down one, then he comes down and it's a breakaway. You have to put your body on the line. What we are looking for from our candidate for the NBA award of business decision, nickname award winner, is somebody who in a moment like that was like,
nah,
it's not worth it, man. We're out. Like, you know, that
would have
been
charge.
The ultimate business decision. Game's on the line, and he's like, I mean, he's gonna dunk on me. Yeah, I don't want that. So
do you want them to run away, or is it when they jump and they're like, no, and they kind of just turn?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No,
and just do
oh, the... I guess what is more, what would be more like, I guess,
eye of the beholder, like, you know, yeah, you'll right. know when you see the ultimate business decision, like the Supreme Court says.
Warren, what, you is, what do you think? You is it just a back turn to be like, no, I never wanted a part of this dump?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it a full on vacating the premises?
It's a sprint.
Like,
it's a sprint. Getting...
Theatricality. Like if they build an excuse in where they like go down to tie their shoe, you know?
Oh, wow.
They're like, oh no, I've slipped. Right, or right, something right. like that.
Nah, I think you're gonna get somebody who's gonna full on Forrest Gump out of that point, out of the paint. Like, nah.
Yeah. Just keeps running. Right into the right into the tunnel. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Or someone's just gonna pretend to, like, you know, when you see sprinters and like qualifying heats and stuff, like sometimes they pull up lame when they know they're not gonna have like, yeah, a yeah, good yeah. race. This is ahead of me, like, nah, I'm not gonna get cooked right now. Right. Someone just goes, no. It's just like limps away to be like, oh, yeah. did I?
Like, have
did
a 2 second hamstring pull. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But again, yeah. let us know if you have a famous business decision from years past, please put that on our radar, because these are the kinds of things, these are kinds of issues we tackle on this show.
Mm-hmm. Important issues. To your point about adrenaline, my dad was an NBA coach. And one time I had a friend come with me to a game. And he came back to the locker room after it was a win. And Tony Batty was on my dad's team. And he went by Batman. And my friend was wearing a Batman shirt. And he was like, oh, hi, Ryan. Nice to see you, my dad. And my friend was like, look, I wore the Batman shirt. Like, you know, Tony Batty, Batman. What do you think? My dad said, I hate it. I think it stinks. And it was... Like, he'd never really, like, met this guy before. It was just, and, like, I don't think he meant it, like, I don't right. know what he meant, I guess. It's just something that my friend it, and like... I, like, still talk about. But it's, like, I just don't think you are in your right mind after a game. Like, the fact that, I think about that often, like, the fact that, like, players have to go out there and, like, just
yeah.
answer questions that are then analyzed, like the Zapruder film.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, like, the last thing I'll say is, like, if the most cynical reading of it is, like, it was spot on, it was that simple, and Spo's answer is, like, you got caught serving, like, a store-bought cake at a dinner, like, as if you baked it.
No,
wait, is this a store-bought? Oh, my gosh. You think this is a store-bought cake? Wow. That's something who doesn't know anything about baking would say.
Yeah.
Because, no, this is 100%.
Like, that's
me.
Obviously the funniest possibility there, but... Sadly, the most likely is probably just like he was agitated and he went a little. I mean, he went a little too.
A little hard.
It was a little too much.
Yeah, it was harsh.
You know how things are. I worked for Bleacher Report. You know, you watch those press conferences, you take clips out. Like, not that, like, as in my job, you know, I purposely make sure I'm not taking things out of context, but like, you can't just get embarrassed in press conferences anymore and like no one hears about it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, it's,
right.
kind of embarrassing someone like that and then making its rounds online when like you know that it's not the best, but I mean it's nothing to like, it's not a judgment on his character. I mean, like we've said, it's a weird situation.
Yeah. I think
especially she opened up saying this is probably oversimplifying it.
Oh, and gosh,
maybe that made him feel comfortable to just be like, yeah, it is oversimplifying it. And we did talk about a clip earlier in the playoffs where somebody asked Spo, like, so how do you plan on like covering Randall? And he had kind of a similar response, but like with, you know, probably 30 degrees less stress and anxiety and adrenaline, where he was just like, first of all, like he is an incredible player and like you can't just figure him out.
Right.
And second of all, if I had a solution, I definitely wouldn't tell you, which
That's
I kind
funny.
Of love. That answer. So yeah. I mean, taken in that context, like I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe he should have said that.
Yeah, but you know, sure. That's why, like, your point about your dad and the story and everything, like, that's why I personally have never been someone who like is mad when a player skips press availability. That being said, if they're doing it every single game, like at that point it's, you know, a problem.
Right.
Or even frequently, but like after like a high intensity or high stress like situation, it is okay, in my opinion, to be like, I can't do this right now. I don't want to do this right now. Like,
right,
take
right,
the
right.
fine. I mean, Like, what, does that really affect me? I wouldn't want to sit up there and answer questions after being embarrassed.
Yeah. Especially when the questions are sometimes like, so that bad thing that happened where you like did your job bad, like how did that feel?
Yeah, that was like, bad, right?
What was going through your mind and like just, you know, this is how you feed your family.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw that, man. What make you panic? Are your thoughts?
Does that make you panic? Does that make you panic?
Oh my God.
They could all be messing it up. No. Okay. All right. Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back, finish up talking about just strategy in this series, and then talk about Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
Wow. we're enjoying the French commentators for sure. And we're back, and it is time for the fastest segment in podcasting. This is the rapid fire segment of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties with Jabari Davis.
Hold on, who got the most boosties of the crew before we get to this rapid fire? And what is that cumulative boostie? Is it over 40 inches combined?
Combined, maybe.
Okay. Oh, yeah. 45. What do we got?
I could get net the last time I tried, which was like 10 years ago. So yeah.
I'm going to add my 15 to it. I'm going to add my 15.
All right, there we go.
To whatever y'all got will get us over the hump.
I think I can still get the back.
So we'll see. Wow. Okay.
Hey, it's sad. My 67-year-old dad is going to do his birthday dunk next week, and he could jump higher than me. So
wow.
Y'all shouldn't feel bad.
Hey, you know, Pop still got it, though. I actually look forward to those birthday dunk posts each year. So,
but every year it's the same thing around this time. It's like, oh man, this year I talked to him a couple weeks ago. Like, look, you're gonna do it. Oh, my hips are janky. I can't do it. I've been working with the Bucks staff though, the medical team, to try and get him right. Then I saw him on his birthday last week. He's like, yeah, we doing the dunk. Like, I'm ready. I'm locked in. I'm like, wow. All right, man, we're gonna see. Like, you know, be humble. All right, just be humble. Get it in.
I do have to admit that the net that I could reach was extremely long. It was one of the longest nets. That,
an 8-foot basket.
Yeah, but you know, I made sure of it.
I'm banging out on the 8-foot though. I don't even tippy. Oh, I can tippy toe that one.
Yeah, my kid's school, they have a low basket that I just go there. I'm goaltending,
dunking on kids.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Josiah, you've been here before. It's the fastest moment in podcasting. No thought whatsoever given to these, just to your instinct. We're going off instinct here.
Y'all trying to get me packed up, but I'm ready. You know,
let's go.
What do you mean? It's like, dude, okay, I didn't have time to think about all that. Let's just get it.
All right. Jabari, you start off.
Here all right. Go. Josiah, are you sure you want me to go first?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I desperately want you to go first.
Joe, who would you like to go first? We just have to make sure.
Hey, you got it, Jabari. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. Josiah, if you could bet on any fan base to make the in-arena challenge shots, you know, the layup, the free throw, the three-pointer in the half court, which fan base or fan bases would you bet on?
I'm going to go with the Lakers because I've seen it happen several times now. You know,
why is that? Yeah, they're so good at the Lakers.
Every time you can see Jeannie's face and it's like, oh, we don't have this bag to give y'all. All right? These bags are tied up. Like, every time it happens, though, he's like, oh, damn, Matt Ryan going to get booted. Or every time, you know, somebody, yeah, somebody on that roster.
Like, oh, no.
You know, he's smiling, but he's like, damn, all right, there's my walking papers. But I think the Lakers fan base, I've probably seen the most hit the half quarters. And I forget what team it was, but they had the janky one where like they hit a half quarter and won like $500.
$500. Those are the Indiana Pacers. That's what made us come up with this question.
For $500, dog.
That was our question. It's like, is it so commonplace? Is everybody just so pure, born with a basketball in their hand in Indiana that like they're just like, yeah, I don't know, we'll give you $500, whatever.
That's fair though. It is the Hoosier State.
It is. All right, dream scripted basketball movie to commit. You know, we just found out about Air. The movie starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck somehow about the invention of the Air Jordan shoe, that they didn't even cast anyone as Michael Jordan. He's just like a presence, a gravitational black hole in the middle of the movie.
Can we see a back of a fort, like a back of the head at least?
Back of the head, yeah. Like there's a shot in the trailer of the back of the head, him walking into the Nike offices, and then I was like, who'd they get to play Jordan? Because that seems impossible, right? He's just like so iconic. You can't get anybody. You can't cast anybody to play him. And they said they specifically didn't cast anyone. He's just this presence that
they should have got Kevin Hart to play Larry Jordan.
It's going to be Flex Alexander.
There you go.
Hey, the Michael Jordan Lifetime movie was one of the greatest things. No names on the jersey. I mean, come on. How do you not appreciate that beautifulness?
Do you have a dream scripted basketball movie you want to pitch?
I would love to see a movie on. He's my favorite basketball player in the league right now, representing the South Sudan. A man who has gone through tribulations, walking in the shadow of his father, who was another great baller, none other than Bol Bol. I'd love to see a Bol Bol movie.
Yo, this is a great idea. Or the Manute Bol story. Like, you could use the perspective, like, stuff that they use for Lord of the Rings. So, you know, that would be very cinematic, very amazing.
Like flashbacks to Bol Bol, like that latest Scream movie, but obviously done in a tasteful way.
Right. All right. Jabari, you're up.
All right, keeping it going. We're going to play Getting In or Headed Home in mid-April. The Brooklyn Nets. The team is still 9 games over 500. They hold a 7-game lead in the loss column over the current 10 seed with under 25 games left. Are they getting in or are they going home?
Yeah, they're in the East. They're getting in.
Yeah, they're getting in.
Fair enough. All right, here's one. The Pelicans. Because many of us, you know, we anticipated a big year from New Orleans. Some were a little bit higher on them than others. But the team finds itself currently just a game and a half up on the 11th seed out west. And reports are that Zion could miss a good chunk in the remaining schedule due to re-aggravating his hamstring. Are they getting in or are they going home?
Well, they might be at the crib. But, you know, I love Zion, love B.I., love that crew, love CJ McCollum. And, you know, even what they did last year, trying to, you know, sneaking in to the play-in. But I think I might be at the crib. Because the Lakers are getting in. So somebody's got to go.
Someone's got to go. Someone's got to, you know, look around, look to your left, look to your right. One of them can't be there. Maybe both of them. So they got to, this is the thing. They got to leapfrog the Thunder, the Blazers, the Jazz, which I think the Jazz are probably on their way out. The Warriors, the Wolves, New Orleans. I mean, who's gone? I can't figure it out. Like, this is going to be tough. Hey, speaking of the Wolves, Anthony Edwards recently acknowledged a 3-bag per day habit of hot Cheetos fries. What was your wildest eating habit when you were a young athlete like myself?
So I think about this often and just what we were able to accomplish back in those days. But a bag of chili cheese Fritos, and this is a regional thing. They do it like in the South, they do it, but they turn the bag the wrong way. We like the bag straight up, but you do it with Doritos too. But you take the Fritos, you actually put some cheddar cheese, some chili in there. If it's a nice eclectic snack shack, throw some onions in there too. But you could eat one of those in a tiki punch and have enough energy to play like 4 or 5 games.
You were doing that before tournaments?
Yeah, the amount of basketball I played with just hot dogs in my system. Just nothing but, like, you know, those concession stand hot dogs.
Like the no smart water. Final janky, you know, you get like the 100 box of hot dogs.
For yeah.
Like $5
yeah.
bucks. Like, yeah.
No yeah. water, drinking soda all day.
Yeah.
Water hot dogs and chips.
What was the wildest thing you witnessed diet-wise? Did you ever, like, play with someone who was just, like, you know, an amazing athlete despite the fact that they were surviving off of gummy candies?
So my college teammate, TJ Cummings, son of Terry Cummings, but TJ could eat like a whole BJ's pizza. And I'm talking about like the bigger, like, you know, big whole pizza, ooh, like two big Pazookies, you know what I mean? And within like
the Pazookie,
within, wow, with like the big, you know, we used to finesse BJ's and Westwood back in the day. Oh, it's my birthday today. Like, you know, it's my birthday probably about 65 times. Every time you go into BJ, cause they had to give you a free Pazookie. Then he would put a bazooka on top of that, but he could take that down and still, you know, go out and drop 20 like it was nothing.
Wow. Amazing.
I'm impressed by that, of that alone. Two bazookies beyond, before the, even without the pizza, the two bazookies would have me done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've never seen a human being able to eat like that. Like, if I ate those two bazookies, you know what I mean? If I looked at those two bazookies, I was gaining 5 pounds. So.
Yeah. All right, Josiah, we ask everybody. I believe you've been here for one of these questions in the past, but Jack or Jabari?
Well, one-on-one?
You sure. Got to pick.
It's up to your interpretation.
Jack got the NBA lineage, Jabari, so I'm going to be
wow.
real.
Wow, yes, yes.
Bird of a feather. I
great
see
answer.
This.
He's getting
I
you
see.
On.
Okay. I know.
He was reading the almanacs back in the day, recalling colleges, looking right. at play sheets, making corrections. What if you slide him over here? Like, you know what I mean? So
it be your own. That's right. Both from Cali.
But oh, my bad. I forgot what month we were taping this in.
Oh, exactly.
Wow.
I gotta give it to Jabari. I'm sorry. That's fair. I can't, you know, I gotta be able to keep the car. You already know. But March 1st, you asked me again March 1st. Hey, and the answer may be different.
There we go. All right. Hey, we'll have to have you back.
I appreciate the reparations.
Also, I was, as a kid, I skipped Dr. J's last game playing against my grandfather, Jack Ramsey. I skipped his last game because Jaws 2 was on TV. So you had me wrong, by the way. That was Stolen Valor when I was like 6 or 7 years old. That's what I was about. I was just I was not a basketball head when
Jaws,
I was a kid.
Jaws 2.
Jaws 2 on cable. I skipped Dr. J's last game.
But this is back in the day, though. We didn't really have access like that. We didn't have streaming and all that, so we had to get it when we could get it. And,
I mean, they electrocute the dang shark. It's pretty cool.
Keep it quick. Keep it right. Keep it tight. Are you ready? Brian, start the clock.
Brian, I'm sorry he yelled at you.
Me too.
Brian's okay. He played in a lot of bands, so his hearing isn't great. That's why I do it. It's not anger. It's a volume thing. Okay.
For a rapid round, you sure are wading into this slowly. Wait, are we going to get to this at some point? Whoa. Good Lord, what is happening?
Okay, you know what? Okay. No, you know what? I appreciate that. I respect your game. I was not familiar with your game. I'm sorry about that.
Nah.
Okay. Here we go. Question number the first. Jabari, you go.
All right. Yeah. Blake, are you ready? I just want to make sure.
I'm ready. Thank you for asking.
Brian, you're ready? Brian, everybody's ready?
Let's hold. Let's get confirmation.
Wait,
Are you with us? Can you just put it in the chat?
Sorry. Okay. Blake, coming up first.
I don't know if Brian's ready. Hold on.
Oh, my man. My bad.
Please keep this.
Okay. This is the whole show. This has always been the show.
All right, so we're good.
Mm-hmm, we're good. We're good. Let's go.
Okay.
All right, Blake.
Yeah.
Give us your best hot take for this NBA season. I know it's already started, and you can kind of get away with cheating and acting like you made it at the beginning.
Yeah.
But give it to us now.
Fire it off.
The Wemby will not win Rookie of the Year.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I don't think that body's going to hold up. I think he's going to miss some games. I hope he doesn't. I hope he's healthy the whole season. I think who's winning? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be Chet. I can't say because a lot of people are picking. I guess Chet Holmgren's probably the second most favored, but the kid, not Barnes.
Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
Charlotte,
yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's you heard it here first. Brandon Miller is winning.
Okay, fine. At least at that. Blake, you know Philadelphia pretty well, don't you?
I do.
Why?
I'm also living here currently.
Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah, fine. I guess I'll take that I'll take that as evidence that you know something that's about kind Philadelphia. Of mm-hmm. How about this? One of these gotta go. The Philly cheesesteak, tasty cakes, or Rita's water ice.
You stuck the landing on the water too. I want tasty cakes out.
Oh
wow!
Sweet guy or just overhyped?
You just don't like the taste.
For me, I just think it's just what they almost killed Bill Clinton, and that's why. And I don't want to elaborate. But I will. I think he would have them flown into DC. And that's obviously not why. I just like things a lot more. For me, it's cheesesteaks, Rita's, and then tasty cakes.
I was going to say, I didn't know what else to put, to be honest. If I just can be transparent about how I was forming this question. I didn't know if to put, a hoagie mm-hmm. also, because obviously that's a staple thing. Or, a roast pork. You know, I know that's another thing you guys like out there. But I'm glad.
Unwarranted aggression. Yeah, that could be one. Do I want it to go or stay?
Or hostility towards the members of your sports teams. One of them, one of these Philadelphia staples has to go.
I really appreciate your thorough answer there, but I got to be honest with you. This is the rapid fire.
That's
round.
Right.
Yes,
this,
you're right. I'm sorry.
It's weird. It's supposed to be fast. Though.
It's not Blake's breakdown.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the breakdown, even you're though right. that, you know what? Let's pitch that.
That's happening off mic.
Okay. I'm around.
You can go back in time. Mm-hmm. And you can permit either AI. There's one right answer here. Okay.
Yeah.
You can permit either AI or Philly Chuck to make a run with this particular squad. Which one are you choosing to take that ride? And don't get this wrong.
It has to be AI. It has to be AI.
Brian, cut his mic. Let's get the hell out of here. Guys, we're gone.
You're going with Barkley?
I'm a Barkley stan. So that it.
I'm telling you, I'm with you, Blake.
I'm a Barkley stan too. It's just, no one can touch AI. Also, Bubba Chuck is one of AI's many nicknames. So I thought, I'm like, wait, is Philly Chuck? Do you want to call him Billy Chuck?
Oh, no.
Or AI?
You got it. Chuck when he was in Philly. The round mound of rebound, if you will.
Yes.
And I will.
All right.
And why AI? Why this? I believe his name is Allen Iverson.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
He's been in the news.
He's now the vice president of Reebok basketball, Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to him, which that is a cool story. I really like that a lot.
Yeah.
But AI is one of the most, I would say it's hard to find a more interesting athlete, not even just in basketball, than he is, where what he did bringing like to the culture in the NBA and how people hold him on a pedestal, where I've never seen, when you see him.
Yeah, right. Okay, more on that later. We got to really keep this moving, Blake. So the next question.
So if you go back in history,
I believe
the genesis of this was.
We have to keep this moving because you are putting you're putting this. The lawyers are calling me right now. They're like, this is not rap.
I don't want to get you in trouble. Yeah.
Okay. Next one. If an alien came down. Mm-hmm. Right up to your door, knock. Guess who? You open the door, and the alien is like, "You need to prove you are a Sixers fan. I don't know how you prove this to me, but prove to me you are a Sixers fan, or I am taking you away in this here spaceship." What do you do or say to show them, prove to them, mm-hmm. that you are in fact a Philadelphia Sixers fan? And they go, "Oh, okay."
Jabari's like, "You flip them off." I would open my robe to reveal the fact that I'm wearing an Eric Snow jersey. And then I'd say, "Good day, sir." And I'd shut the door.
Honestly, the alien would say, "All right, yeah, you got it."
Like, it wasn't right, they were playing.
Yeah, I have a trip to go on.
Yeah.
Right. Second thought.
The Philly freezer.
Second thought, you want my spaceship? I realize I'm not built for any of this anymore. Shook to my core.
He tosses me the keys. They have keys.
Yeah. It's the Mazda. Wait, what?
All right,
was that going?
You can take two players from all of history to create your special edition Mad Boosties NBA Jam team. Which two players are you taking? Beyond, Charles Barkley, of course.
Beyond Barkley, I'm taking the glove, Gary Payton, because he will get you the ball back. The swipe, his ability to get steals.
You can swipe from half court.
They called him the glove. I called him the swipe. I would go Iverson and then...
Wait.
I meant Gary Payton. Gary Payton. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'm going Kemp, too. Oh, I'm going to keep it in the family. I'm going to keep it on the 90s. They were so much fun to play with. What if I was like Detlef Schrempf and Dirk Nowitzki? That'd be too German.
I would say, I see what time it is.
Okay. Yeah. Rick Smith and Marc Gasol. Yeah.
Yes.
One of the good ones.
Oh, man. Okay. And last question.
Yeah.
This is important, man. Mm-hmm. I want you to look us dead in our eyes when you answer this. Mm-hmm. Pick one. Jabari or Miles. Go right now. Go.
Miles.
What does that mean?
I'm going Jabari because he books this.
Hey, there it is. I mean, it makes sense to me. I don't know.
Jack still catches strays out here.
Look how replaceable this show is. Like people on this show, Jack. Wow. You can just have anyone come in, whereas like Jabari's permanent. So,
wow.
Yeah. Anyone.
So Jabari catching strays. Yeah. Everybody's catching strays.
Yeah.
No one's safe when the street sweeper is out here.
Miles was just available. Yeah.
Damn,
we
just
open
the business.
Wow.
And I think I saw you say that the detail of, your character and White Man Can't Jump, Raymond, sticking people up, but being, somebody who hangs around there and is like 6'8".
7 feet. He's 7 foot.
He's a full step.
He was 7 foot.
And they're like, "Come on, Reggie, not again, man, not again." Reggie,
you're the
not
only again. 7 foot person I know.
Right, and Reggie's like, "No, this ain't me. This ain't me."
So you really did pull that scene directly from his life.
Yes, they pulled that directly from. That was one of the first folklore tales that they would tell you back in the 70s when you got to the league. They tell you the story about Reggie Harding and the ski mask robbing the liquor store at 7 feet and the, you know, this ain't me. And so that was one of the first things that you heard. And it was funny back in the day. It's a funny story, but when you look at the background and do a little bit more digging in terms of his history, it's actually a sad story. He wound up getting shot on the streets of Detroit, I think at about 30 years old, 1972. And so the same streets that he couldn't get away from that derailed his career wound up leading to his undoing. Spent time in prison, Jackson Prison in Michigan for two or three years for armed robbery and a bunch. He was robbing a bunch of dope houses where he would buy dope. And they got to the point where they got so pissed off at him because they knew it was him, 7 feet with a ski mask, that he came up to a dope house to rob it. And two shotgun blasts hit him in both legs, and he was hospitalized. Just a crazy, crazy life that colorful, crazy life that crossed paths with a lot of great, great NBA all-timers. So it's really a fascinating story.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Somebody needs to buy that screenplay post-haste.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's appropriate like that you're on our anniversary episode. You are somebody who still can dunk and boost. You know, so you still have the mad boosties that you had in your career. I still have the same ability to dunk that I had in my career, which is none. I was net, but I can still, I think, touch the bottom of the net. In that way we are similar.
Okay.
Can you talk about that? Like you dunk, is it every year on your birthday you get there?
My son Josiah, king of NBA Twitter.
Yes, we should say that.
King Josiah, he brought the idea to me the year that Blake Griffin jumped over the Kia. I was about 54, 55 years old at the time, and you know, could dunk really easily back then. And so we got some Matchbox cars or something. I jumped over one to I'm doing the same thing, Blake. I'm gonna jump over a car.
Yeah,
and that created a monster. So every year after that. I'm 67 now, so for the last 13 years, every year he's like, "Come on, Dad, we got to do it, I'm like, "Joe, I don't know. I mean, I only dunk once a year on my birthday, around my birthday. I never tried any other time, so I don't know if I could do it or not." And got some hip issues, so this year was a little challenging, but I was able to pull it off, and we got it done. So, next year I'm not sure. I may have a hip replacement done by that time. So. This may have been the last one, but it's been fun. What it does is, man, it keeps me in shape, keeps me working out, gives me something to shoot for, a goal to shoot for, to stay in reasonably good shape at 67 years old. So I work out 6 times a week, 6 days a week. And I mean, nothing, you know, like an hour and 10 minutes, nothing crazy, but just enough to stay in reasonably good shape. So it's been the impetus for that. So that's been a good thing, good positive behind it.
Hey, well, I give you credit because you're doing something at 66 that I wasn't able to do at 36. So
yeah. More power to appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk about the current NBA, the purported subject of this podcast. You get an up close and personal look at the Bucks, and I feel like they are a lot of smart people's pick for the title this year. There's actually an interesting conversation happening around Giannis with Isaiah this week. I'm not sure if you saw this.
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Well, actually, it's from earlier in the year. It was basically it was surrounding the conversation with Giannis where people were saying he might struggle in the 80s. He would come off the bench in the 80s or 90s or whatnot.
Charles Oakley in particular.
And Zeke, you know, to his credit, I'll paraphrase it. He basically was saying, "Hey, guys, you guys need to be quiet because he would dominate in the 80s. We've never seen anything like him come into our league." And basically he's one of the quote unquote old heads that definitely shows love. So I'm interested in where do you see him up close and personal? You've seen him, you know, for the bulk of his career, definitely, you know, the great moments. How do you think Giannis would fare?
No, man. I mean, greatness transcends eras, and greats will figure out how to excel in different eras. And that goes both ways. And so, you know, people talk about how we couldn't have played in today's NBA from the 80s and 90s and guys from even 70s. I mean, but the great players would figure things out with me. They like to point to my 3-point field goal percentage. Well, that's why I like cleaning the glass, because they don't count heaves and in the quarter shots and all that. And bulk of my stuff was in the shot clock, in the quarters, those types of threes. And so, you know, but you know, if I'd have worked on a 3-point shot, I'd shoot 37, 38%. I know that hands down. But with Giannis, that bugs me. Now people are coming around. Charles Barkley calls him the greatest player on the planet. So that's a definite feather in Giannis's cap to have that happen. I mean, I remember James Harden coming out and saying he wishes he was 7 feet and all he had to do was dunk. Giannis is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
And watching him when I first got to the Bucks 8 years ago, he was coming off a season where he averaged about 16 a game, 7-8 rebounds. I didn't know if he would be a solid NBA player for the next 10 years at that time, 18, 19, topping out at that, or would he be an all-star? I certainly didn't think he would be this transcendent player who would be a two-time MVP that would drop a 50-piece in a closeout finals game. I didn't think that. It just didn't look like he was on that trajectory in terms of his skill package, and just didn't look like he was going to be that kind of a guy. But that's where his background, his motivation, his inspiration, his diligence to working out, his desire to be the best. That's where all that comes into play. And I saw that early. I saw him have great games, and I'd see a shadowy figure after he'd had a great game and we won. Running through a crowd of people at right after the game in 10 degree below weather in Milwaukee. And I'm thinking to myself, who is that crazy brother right there with the T-shirt and the cutoff sweats? What is he doing? Then I look closer. Man, that's Giannis. Where the hell is he going? Watch him. He's going to the practice facility across the street to work on his free throws. Wow. And it's genuine. That's just who 40-plus point games. We have a flight to another city that night on a team plane. He's sitting in the back of the plane with Sean Sweeney, the assistant coach at the time for the Bucks, going over film and video in terms of what he could have done better, even though he just dropped 40 points on that opponent that night. That's Giannis. I mean, and so he could have played in any era. He is such a unicorn, is the popular way of describing a guy like him. Think about it. He's 7 feet, 250, so he's strong enough to kind of withstand the pounding back in the day. But he's also got this, his separator is this handle. He's able to get to where he wants to go with his ball handling like no other 7-footer. I'm trying to run my mind through the course of history to think if there's been a 7-footer that could handle like he could. Now, that's also, he's been a product of his era, because it's been encouraged for, and it's the European kind of influence in the NBA and the American game. Big men shooting outside shots. Back in the day, if you were a Jim McDaniels from Western Kentucky who averaged 30 a game in college, you get to the pros, you're soft because you shoot jumpers at 7 feet. My teammate at UCLA, Richard Washington, the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament in 1975, 28 against Louisville, 28 against Kentucky. Great jump shooter, 6'11". He got to the league, you're soft. Get your big ass inside. Pound it inside. That's for the small forwards and guards to shoot the jump shots. So it's a different era, and so there is a more of a premium put on big men, the stretch four that can knock down jumpers, and that helps him. But you know, he just knows how to play, how to score. His finishing is so much better than I've ever seen it before this year. But his ability to handle the ball, to get to his spots, and he studied defenders and knows how to attack angles and body position to draw fouls. And even though he's shooting 66% from the free throw line, a lot of guys would back off and get into the free throw line because of that. He embraces the challenge and gets to the free throw line even more. Probably shooting more free throws this season than he's ever shot. So that's his mindset. It's just different, which I think would transcend any era and lead to his success.
All right. That has been our Mad Boosties Best of 2023 wrapped. And we'll be back next week with all new episodes, and happy 2024.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.